Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The problem with Christmas is it drops us into the middle of an ongoing story. And check your Bible. We're already halfway done by the time we get here. So, just to catch everyone up, here's about 1,000 years and 25 seconds. David was the king of a united Israel. God told the prophet Nathan that he would raise up from David's offspring a dynasty that would last forever. Within 2 generations, the United Kingdom of Israel was divided into the Northern Kingdom of Israel and the Southern Kingdom of Judah. The Northern Kingdom of Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians. The Babylonians destroyed the Southern Kingdom of Judah after the Babylonians had replaced the Assyrians as the dominant power in the Middle East. The Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, the temple, and exiled the Jews. The Persians destroyed the Babylonians and allowed the Jews to come back. The Persians were conquered by the Macedonian Greeks. After Alexander the Great died, his empire was partitioned into multiple parts. Initially, the Egyptian Ptolemies had control over the Palestine region. It then fell into the hands of the Seleucids in Antioch. The Seleucids were overthrown by the Hasmonean dynasty and the Maccabean revolt. The Hasmoneans were conquered by Rome, who installed Herod the Great as their puppet ruler over Israel. A lot had happened since King David. And in that time, people of God got really good at one thing: waiting. They had a monarchy and they waited. Their monarchy collapsed and they waited. They were exiled and they waited. They were returned and they waited. Turned away from God and they waited. Turned back to Him and they waited. Abandoned their traditions and they waited. Restored their traditions and they waited. Were conquered and subjugated and waited. Freed themselves, waited. Were conquered and subjugated again, and they waited. They waited for the Son of David to come back and restore the Davidic kingdom. They waited for a prophet like Moses, who was so close to God that we could say he knew God face to face. They waited for one like a Son of Man who would break through the heavens, judge the world, and set things right. They were waiting for the light. And after all that waiting, in a cave in Bethlehem, the light came. And the light needed diapers and probably sucked his thumb. This is our faith, and we get used to it. But think about it. There is one God in three persons, a communion of perfect love, where there's a single deity, but distinction isn't lost. One of those persons, who is God, became a human being. In that manger, a feeding trough for animals, was the infinite God of perfect love. That's quite a gesture by God. Sometimes we're impressed when we see a CEO sells his company, gives up his job, gives his money to charity. This is more like a CEO turns himself into a two-dimensional Tetris block. I'm dating myself, by the way. I reached for a popular reference and I came up with Tetris. But why would a God do this? Why would the all-powerful God make himself a little baby? Who got cold and hungry and had to be picked up by his mother. The Gospel of John tells us, it's a famous verse, John 3:16. Do you remember it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. We're the world. And he wants to give us eternal life. And more than that, if you caught the prologue of John that we just read, John says, to those who receive Jesus, God gives the power to become his children. God wants to be in a loving relationship like a father to a son, or a father to a daughter. And because he is perfect love, he wants that to last forever. This is our faith. For God so loved the world. One of the best pieces of advice I've ever been given was to ask God for the grace to see other people like God sees them. It's tough. Try it. Next time you see a mentally ill homeless man begging for money, ask God to let you see him like God sees him. We see appearances. God sees the heart. This homeless man's joys are God's joys. His sorrows are God's sorrows. God wants to be with him forever. It's true of each and every person. Sometimes it's just as hard to see ourselves as God sees us, to appreciate that our joys are God's joys, our sorrows are God's sorrows. God wants to be with us forever. Sometimes we can only see our weaknesses, our failures. Sometimes it seems like everything we do falls apart in our hands and nothing will ever make things better. Sometimes all we see is the darkness. Those times, it's helpful to think back to what our forefathers and foremothers in the Old Testament did. How did they find the light? What did they do to get the light? Nothing, right? They just waited. The light came to them, right? One time we tried to build our way to the heaven, and it didn't work out well. God descended and came to us. Same is true for us. The light is Jesus Christ. We don't have to find him. He's already found us. And how could he not? He created us out of love. He sustains us out of love. He came to earth to save us out of love, each of us. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to find the light. It's there. Just have to receive the light. To respond to his love, our love. To respond to his commitment with our commitment. Rejoice. The light has come into the world, and he has come for you.